3 Days Left by Shattered Hourglass. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. 3. So, you don't get to meet this guy until the day of the wedding? Nope, Clint says, skipping the stone back across the river's surface. It makes it all the way across, landing neatly in a shiny silver hand. All I know is that he's from your country. They call him the Prince of Winter, and that no one outside of his court has ever seen his face and stayed alive. That's kind of bullshit, Bucky says, flipping the rock over in his hand before he tries to skip it back. Right? Clint watches the rock bounce twice before it sinks under the water, never to be seen again. Ah, that was better than your last try? Just because I'm not some kind of rock-skipping wizard doesn't mean you can patronize me, Bucky returns. His last try had sunk instantly. He seems to have something against skipping the rocks, in that most of the time he just throws it at the surface of the river instead. He's still getting better at it, though, and Clint's a patient enough teacher. Try again, Clint encourages him. Bucky huffs and gets up to fish another rock out of the pile next to him. Clint stretches his legs out, perched comfortably on a fallen log overgrown with moss and flowers. The weather's getting colder now. Kate had thrown a magenta-colored cloak at him before he'd left, and he's pushed the hood down so he can feel the wind brush against the carefully etched magic runes under his ears. He wonders if the prince prefers this kind of weather, or if it's just a name. You getting all dolled up for it, then? Ceremonial gear, sure, Clint says, watching Bucky throw the rock at the water. It sinks instantly. Nothing that sexy. I guess I could go around Natasha and throw on something fun. You think the prince would like a thong? Bucky snorts, throws another rock. Sure, why not? Maybe he'll wear one too. Wedding of the century, Clint says dryly. How far away is it? 3 days, Clint answers glumly. Fucking Barney, this is all his fault. It might not be that bad, Bucky offers. You get dual citizenship, right? To two countries with bad blood between them, where there is a single bridge across the massive river separating them. And the gate to said bridge gets opened once every 5 years, Clint says. Not to mention I'll be stuck in the country I don't know, with a husband I don't know, just because of all this political bullshit. There's nothing good about it, Bucky says. Eh, Clint says, watches the next rock bounce once before it vanishes beneath the surface. I guess we'll get to hang out properly if I'm over there. I'd like that, Bucky says. Maybe you can teach me to skip rocks properly. Maybe, Clint says, feels a slight smile tug at his lips. 2. Winter's coming, Clint remarks as he comes around a tree, looking up at the graying sky. It does that, Bucky agrees. He's already waiting, has set a rickety-looking stool down on the ground by his side of the river. It's a good idea. Clint winces as the frost soaks into his pants, tries not to think about how uncomfortable it is. Bucky pulls out a flat rock and flips it over in his hands experimentally. The river is frozen over already, the chill from it unpleasant. He hates the colder months, and not just because Bucky disappears more often during them. They're just no fun in any direction for any reason, and he's already having a hell of a week. Do you believe in soulmates? What? Doesn't count, Clint says as the rock slides neatly across the thin layer of ice. He speaks too soon. The ice is thin enough that as they watch, it falls through to the cold water underneath anyway. Never mind. Are you all right? What? Oh, yeah, sure, Clint responds without any enthusiasm. How's Steve? Tripped over his own face, trying to ask Peggy to the ball, Bucky says. Told him it was a little weird trying to get laid during someone else's wedding ritual, but it's not my problem. He can take it up with the officials if they start causing problems. Hey, if he wants to take my place, Clint says. If he could, he probably would, Bucky replies, looking amused. Why'd you agree to all this if you're going to hate it? I don't know, Clint says. It's complicated. Political bullshit. Both countries, the generals are pushing for war because that's the only thing they know how to do. They'll stop trying if the only remaining member of the royal family shacks up with the oldest member of the other royal family. It was the best we could come up with before they decided they'd rather ignore Natasha's orders. And I'd rather not risk people dying for a useless war. Sounds like you're doing a noble thing. Clint sighs, props up his chin with his fist. What kind of a guy agrees to a random desperate marriage proposal? What if he's a weirdo who wants to smell my socks? Or a serial killer? They wouldn't let a serial killer rule a whole country, right? They would, but he could just be a guy. Maybe he's in the same position as you are, Bucky offers. Clint rolls his eyes. Yeah, right. 1. Shit, Clint says to himself as he sees the empty space across the river. That's not fair. His shoulders slump. He ducked out of the preparations as soon as he could. There's too many people in his face, and it's making him break out in hives. He's not going to lie and say that he was just getting some air, though. He'd really, really been hoping that Bucky would be standing on the other side like every other day waiting for him. That maybe Bucky would be able to convince him to go back. Yeah, he's a little codependent. He's just desperate to see Bucky one more time before he's married off to a random guy he doesn't know for completely platonic reasons. Going back empty-handed doesn't feel right. Clint looks at the surface of the river. It's completely frozen now. He could try, but bad idea. Clint inhales sharply, holds the frigid air in his lungs. He's always been full of bad ideas. What's one more, right? It'll be fine. He'll be fast. This is the only place that the border guards don't patrol, and the magic holding the borders closed should have fizzled out hours ago. He reaches out to test, his hands meeting nothing but the cold breeze. This is still a terrible idea. Fuck it, he thinks, taking a step out onto the ice. It holds his weight. He lets out a relieved sigh and edges his way across, looking down at the frozen surface of the river. If he squints, he can see tiny silver fishes flitting through the dark water. They're kind of cute, truth be told, and he'd never been able to see them on the riverbank. When his boot touches the ice above them, they swim away from him, where he can no longer spot them. He wishes he'd been able to do this earlier. He can't ask Bucky for much. It'd be treason, after all. But maybe he can ask for a little. Clint. Bucky, Clint says, looking up from his feet to see a black shape on the other side of the river. Look, I'm... He speaks too soon, as the ice shatters underneath his boot. His leg is plunged into freezing water and he reaches out uselessly as he tries to yank himself out, only succeeding in breaking the frozen surface of the river even more. Shit, he thinks, quiet and panicked as he falls through the ice into the water underneath. He should have learned how to swim before now, huh? Darkness overtakes him. 0. It's weirdly hot when he awakens. Is this what drowning feels like? Then he opens his eyes and he's looking into Bucky's worried face, backlit by the orange light of a fireplace. He looks down. Someone swaddled him in about 4,000 blankets, and there's a sweet smell in his nose that he can't quite identify. Oh, hi, Bucky, is what he says out loud, very intelligently. What the hell were you thinking? Bucky says. I may... Clint says, chewing his bottom lip for a second, have been having some doubts about the whole arranged marriage thing. So you drowned yourself so you wouldn't have to get married? Bucky looks very frowny as he reaches for something on a small side table, shoves a mug into Clint's still chilled hands. That'd explain the sweet smell, at least. Bucky had been brewing hot chocolate. Once again, Barton, what the hell were you thinking? I was thinking that I didn't want to go through this without at least seeing you once, Clint says. You see me every day. Not what I meant, Clint returns. Anyway, the ice was holding me. It was not, Bucky says. Shit, we've got to get you back over there before the ceremony starts. I'm kind of comfy here, Clint says, sinking a little further into his nest. The prince can wait a couple hours. That's when his gaze lands on the black mask on the table where his hot chocolate had been sitting. It's a very familiar mask. And Clint puts his hot chocolate down so that he can get a better look at it, because he could almost swear that he'd seen pictures of his soon-to-be husband wearing the exact same thing. He turns his eyes back to Bucky, who's crouched in front of him in an unusual all-black ensemble, one that covers him from head to toe, so there's no sign of his metal arm. And then he sees the insignia on the coat. "Clint," Bucky starts, looking uncomfortable. "You're the prince," Clint says. "You're the fucking prince of winter?" "Only sometimes," Bucky says, holding up his hands in a non-threatening gesture. "Steve and Sam and I swap around when it's convenient because no one takes any notice. I'm just the original Hey! Clint smacks him again and then stands up, tugging the blanket around him like a particularly fluffy cape. He's only in his underclothes beneath the blankets. They're still damp from the river, and he winces at the discomfort momentarily before he remembers that Bucky is the Prince of Winter. He ignores Bucky's protests, stamping out the door of the cabin he's found himself in and starting to stomp barefoot through the snow. Maybe there'll be a border patrol around to point him in the direction of the bridge. Bucky's following him. Clint is mad. He's going to go home and call off the engagement immediately and never step foot in this accursed country again. The generals might have been right about war. He's still not going to agree with it, but he can see the appeal. "I was on my way to propose to you in person," Bucky shouts from behind him. Clint stops. "We've been doing this for a year now, and I couldn't even touch you," Bucky says. "My friends are sick of hearing about you, because I can't fucking shut up about what you're doing, or how you are, or how I'm obsessed with finding out exactly what color blue your eyes are." Clint turns around. "I didn't choose this," Bucky says, looking defeated. "Sam was the one who agreed to the proposal, because we needed this too, and he figured I'd say something sooner rather than later. I didn't know how to say it." "What were the terms of the marriage?" "You can do what you want," Bucky says, meeting his gaze. "Wherever you want. You can bring your people with you. You can go home for the rest of your life if you want, and I won't stop you. It's a marriage for politics only." Clint swallows. "What if I don't want it to be?" "That's your choice," Bucky says. "I'll respect it either way." "You didn't answer my question yesterday, Bucky," Clint says, taking a single step towards him. "I don't remember the question," Bucky says as Clint draws closer, closer, closer. Their lips are an inch apart now. "Do you believe in soulmates?" "I'd like to," Bucky answers quietly. "Then you'd better take me home," Clint says, drawing back. "We've got a wedding to attend." The end.